Hello, everybody. This is Love, Lust, and Laughter, and I'm Dr. Diana Wiley, your host. A frequent guest, Sherry Winston, going back to the late 2014. Did you know that, sweet Sherry? Did you know that we go back
no,
to late
actually.
2014?
Yeah, well, that's what happens to get older. It's all a blur, right?
Well, I remember quite well that I heard you, the way I met you was by hearing you speak at an ASECT conference. And I've been in this business of sex therapy and sexuality for 35 years. And I'd never heard about vestibular bulbs. That was the biggest takeaway for me from that lecture you gave. So then I called you soon after that, and that's when you began guesting for me. You are really a wonderful guest. Absolutely, because you're interesting and engaging, and you hardly ever say no. You're willing to come on my show, even with short notice.
So, and I'm easy.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, well.
So,
yeah, definitely. I'm easy for you.
Well,
I'm not easy
good.
For everyone.
Well, yes. And speaking of, well, last April, my husband Brian and I had a delightful brunch with you and your partner. You can say more if you want, but Carl and we just had the best time meeting you for the first time, because I've had Carl and you on the program together, and we're going to have you back on this show, and then Carl at some point as well, but you'll be back in October. Do you want to talk about September, or just a little bit, or no?
Oh, well, sure, actually. September's a little busy because Carl and I are getting married and going on a honeymoon. How about that?
I love that.
It's funny.
I just love that because you've been
That's
together
really
how long with Carl?
13 years.
Yeah. Well, it's about time, yeah. Sherry.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's funny. I'm
you
really
know,
excited
I'm
about
teasing.
It.
I'm teasing with you.
I didn't even realize. I know I didn't even realize I was going to find the whole thing so exciting, but I am. I'm finding it really quite delightful and exciting and fun to plan, and so
yeah.
I'm excited. So yeah, September is going to be a little busy.
Yeah, delightful busy, and mm-hmm. You two are really exceptional people. Brian and I both thought so, and so I thought we could mention again to the guests your books. Succulent Sex Craft, and the one that we're going to talk about today a little more in depth than is Women's Anatomy of Arousal, which won ASECT, American mm-hmm. Association for Sex Educators, Counselors, and Therapists, Book of the Year Award in 2010. Why don't you talk briefly about Carl's books, because I've had you on as a couple in the past, and we've talked about his books, but he has a new one, which my husband Brian is reading as he is reading now and liking it very much. It's so original and creative.
Well,
start with his most recent book.
Well, I would be delighted to share with you Carl's achievement. He's finished a novel called The Unraveling. It's volume one of
mm-hmm.
a planned trilogy, The Eritopian Chronicles, and it's a just wonderful, integral work because it's fun and funny, but it's also serious because it's a world where that's entirely sex positive and they've got healthy and loving boundaries and it's full of celebration and we have some earthlings who go there thinking they're just going to have sexual adventures, which they do.
Of
ridiculous,
course.
Outrageous sexual adventures. Carl's really fervid imagination is well at work, but it's also serious because it's full of a lot of the ideas that I've been teaching about for decades about holistic sexuality and conscious relationship and things we've been working on all for 13 years together. So it's really unique. I mean, there's nothing like it. It's a total page-turner, and it is available. So this is really our big, exciting news at the moment, that it's the book is out and available on Amazon as a regular book and as a Kindle. And, you know, I've been so involved in the book for so long, I don't have a perspective on it, but so far we're getting really good responses from people. So
again,
I know I'm clearly biased.
Including Brian, he thinks it's so well written and it's a very engaging story, and he liked the sex scenes. So
oh, good.
They're really written well. My plan is to read it after Brian. And I will have you, and by then he'll be your husband, Sherry. So we'll have you both on the program. But the book is The Unraveling, and
And it's by?
Yes,
by Carl
say his
Frankel.
Full name and spell his last name.
Frankel.
Yeah.
And you can find it on Amazon. You can always go to our website, and that will lead you to the book and to Amazon or to his website. There's lots of ways to find it, but go check it out. And right now, actually, we have it on sale on Kindle. So the Kindle is $2.99 right now. So now is a great time if you're a Kindle reader to snatch up the Kindle while it is currently cheap.
Yes. Well, you two are going to make... You're already a great couple. So when you had that added layer of commitment that a legal marriage brings, you know, I rather like being married a year and a half now. But of course, we have this LAT arrangement, living apart together, where we see each other. You know about this, Wednesdays and weekends, and we travel together. But you two within one house probably can still make some spaces for yourselves, because I think as we age, we often need a little more time alone and to process.
You know, we actually, for the first 3.5 years of our relationship, lived in back-to-back houses. Our back doors were about 50 feet apart, and that was great. We did get to the point where we decided we could live together, that we do have a big house, and we each have several of our own spaces, you know, at a certain age, you want to have some space of your own, you want to have your own a room of your own or two rooms of your own.
Yes.
So you have that space and togetherness, and we have found what works for us. And
Brian and I have found what works for us, and it's very much of an individual thing, but you do have more... I think you have more choices when you're a more mature person and you're not raising little children. So,
Boy, is that true.
Yes, we both know about that.
Yeah.
So we're...
Well, you know, we should do a show sometime talking with maybe with both of us on, talking about relationship as a learning, teaching opportunity.
Oh, I think that's such a good idea.
So maybe you
and Carl could be on together, and Brian and I could be on together.
Wouldn't that be fun? Let's do that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Relationships, making a note, teaching tool. Mm-hmm. Because we both have, we're very fortunate, but we're also mature, and we think about things, and we know we have a lot of knowledge in this area. And so our relationships, my marriage, your soon-to-be marriage, are apt to be really healthier and more fun and more sexy. And reminds me of a study done. The study was wondering if sex therapists had better sex. And you're a sex therapist. I mean, you're a sex educator and a writer.
I'm an educator. I'm an educator.
Mm-hmm. So the question is better sex. Well, it was a small study, but the study showed that, yes, because we in the sexuality field, and especially if we pick well, choose well, we have sex without any anxiety because we have a lot of knowledge. And I think not having fear and anxiety because maybe worked through some things that might have been difficult in the past. But so we have better sex because we know what we're doing and we have healthy attitudes about it.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, first of all, I will say there are plenty of therapists and educators who have challenges and issues as well. So I will say that. I think anyone who's going into a relationship bringing consciousness and a willingness to learn and grow and become a better human being and to be able to use your relationship to do that, you know, where you can heal the stuff, where you recognize, oh, wow, I grew up with this shame and I don't have the language and I need those skills. So I think anyone who's willing to acquire the skills to heal and grow can have amazing and awesome relationships. And if you aren't willing to acquire those skills, well, you know, it's not going to be so good.
Absolutely. And then those good old neurons in our brains help us. That additionally helps us when we're with somebody that we really care about and we can learn from each other. We'll have that show with the two of you and the two of us. That would be fun. We can set it up.
We'll talk about that. Because
yeah, we can talk
also
about that.
In our intimate relationships, is where we have the most potential to get triggered and recapitulate all of our wounds.
That's true.
Why we need the skills.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and knowledge.
This is not what we're talking about tonight, but
we're talking about the book. Well, you wrote this one after Succulent Sex Craft.
No, this
or
was
before.
First. The Women's Anatomy of Arousal was first,
Okay. That's Secret Map to Buried Treasure. Pleasure.
Pleasure.
Treasure. Yeah, it's
Pleasure.
A wonderful
Secret
book.
Secret Maps to, yeah. Thank
and
you.
I'll put that, when
I'm
I do the write-up,
so proud
I'll
of
put
it.
That, because it was, again, ASEC Book of the Year. Lots of therapists really love this book, including me. We're going to focus on, for this show, your chapter 4, The Red Hot Dance of Yin and Yang. And you have the quotes in your book are great, as is the art. A lot of it very old art, very erotic, sensual, sexual art. But the Jane Austen quote just under The Red Hot Dance is, Jane Austen, one half of the world cannot understand the pleasures of the other. So why don't you start talking, as you do in the book, about the similarities between men and women?
Well, I think that's a really great place to start. And I'll start with the big picture, which is, of course, that we are all human. And so we have many, many things in common. And whatever our gender, we're also completely unique. So I think what's tricky when, certainly I found when I was first teaching about sexuality and you know, and female genitalia and all the parts women really have and things like that, when I first started teaching, I would talk about, well, you know, when it comes to sex, women are often like this, and men are often like that. And I would say things like that, and I would phrase it very carefully. I'd say, well, you know, most women, most of the time. You know, I would say, keeping in mind that everybody's different and there are exceptions and we all have different moods, and I would put all this stuff around it. And yet I would still wind up pissing off somebody by saying yeah. how women are. Right? They say, well, I'm a woman and I'm not like that, or whatever.
Yeah.
So I started thinking, I need a better way to talk about this that helps people understand the differences and the similarities. And of course, if we partner with people whose plumbing is different or whose erotic energy is different, we're going to have times when we're confused by them. They don't respond the way we do. I mean, it's kind of like having a Mac and a PC. If you're used to working on one type of machine and then you go to the other one, some of the buttons work just the same, and other buttons, you're pushing the button, you're going, this works on my machine. Why is it not working? Why is it not doing what I want it to do? So how can we talk about this and understand this in a way that's useful, helps us understand the people we partner with, helps us understand ourselves better, but doesn't fall into that trap of the gender stereotypes, what I like sometimes called generalities, you know?
Yeah, you use that word, I think, in your book.
Uh-huh. Right. So I will say, actually, the first map that I came up with was this yin-yang map. And when I was first studying sexuality, I was studying lots of different approaches, including Taoist approaches. And they talk a lot about yin and yang, and how these energies are complementary. So instead of thinking of them as opposites, they are, it's a spectrum with one energy at one end, the other at the other end, and then there's this wonderful dance. And we all know the yin-yang symbol, the light and dark swirls. And also within each is the seed of the other. And I thought, well, that's a useful model because it's multi-level. And what I came to understand was that particularly when it comes to our sexual energy, most of us are polarized. One of those energies is stronger and more sensual. It's like one is our default setting. And so for me, as is the case for many women, probably most women, my core erotic energy is yin energy.
And you suggest that people, well, you have a long section in your book about this. So maybe you could break it down a little bit more, but I think that's very important. Your core energy is yin, which is the female.
Mm. Or often is the energy that manifests as the core energy in most people who identify as female.
Yeah, right.
So it's not really about the plumbing. It just happens to be that most of the time, people who have the same kind of plumbing as I do tend to have that energy. But remember, we all have both.
Right? Of course we do.
So the yin energy, which is that more receptive energy, is my core erotic energy, but I also have yang energy. And my yang energy is my secondary energy. But sometimes I'm in a yang mood, right? So it's not like it's one thing or the other. But I do partner with people who have core yang energy. So my core yin energy is attracted to the opposite or the polarized energy. It's like magnets. You need a positive and a negative pole to have that attraction. And that's why I tend to not want to have sex with my girlfriends, because most of them have core yin energy. If I am attracted to a woman, she probably has core yang energy, right? It's the yang energy, that strong central yang energy that polarizes and draws my yin. Now,
you
that
talk
being,
about.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well,
You talk about maybe while we're just paused because on page 66 in this chapter, mm-hmm. in Women's Anatomy of Arousal, you said something fascinating, and I had not thought about this before, that once you get the yin temperature up, speaking to women, I presume here, or mostly mm-hmm. women, the water mostly can stay women. Hot for a very long time. It can mm-hmm. also be brought to a boil again quickly. Not only that, but the more frequently you bring her erotic energy to a boil, the easier it will be for her to get her hot tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, if you have that yin water that hasn't gotten any heat lately, it mm-hmm. has a tendency to get icy and may even freeze, and then the footnote you add is perfect. It's not a coincidence mm-hmm. that women who have arousal and orgasm dysfunction used to be called frigid. They put that out of the mm-hmm. DSM, didn't they, that description?
Yes, but we don't use that anymore. But
no,
but there's
the reality, you're right, you go on to
that
say,
understanding.
Yeah, the reality, though, is that they don't feel cold so much as unsafe due to the experiences such as sexual abuse or the mainstream of well-meaning but unskilled lovers. I'm so glad you said that, because that is a problem for a lot of women. But feeling unsafe, I see that again and again. And I guess that if you have a really rough childhood, the amygdala, the feeling center of the brain, the fear center of the brain, if you will, gets overwired. So you're much more likely to experience anxiety, maybe even depression. So it's hard to get out of that deep freeze for some women without therapy and
mm-hmm.
and help, mm-hmm. like from your books.
Right. In fact, let me talk a little bit more about the mm-hmm. qualities of yin and yang
mm-hmm.
and how that manifests in us. And then we're going to come
do.
Back to that safety issue. So the way I understand it is that yin energy, as I said, is the receptive energy, and yang energy is the penetrative energy.
Mm-hmm.
And another map that I find really useful is the pussycats and puppy dogs. So yin
yeah.
energy is mm-hmm. very much like the pussycat energy. It needs to be seduced. It needs to feel safe. It takes time to seduce the pussycat. You have
mm-hmm.
to go at the pussycat's pace. It takes
mm-hmm.
a while. Whereas
yeah.
yang energy, it's more, it's very focused, it's direct, it's service energy. It's about putting your gifts and your service out into the world. It's doing energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that puppy dog energy tends to be very fast. Very hot, enthusiastic, fast energy. And remember, there's no right or wrong, good or bad here. They're all good. But you don't play with a kitty cat the same way you play with a puppy dog.
For sure not.
Right?
Yes.
Right. If you want somebody to fetch the ball, you want a dog. Because dogs
right.
love to have a job, and they want to do a good job. And people
who
have poor young energy
mm-hmm.
love to be in service and do a good job and get praised. So
mm-hmm.
that hot, fiery, young energy can be utilized in service.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of it just being this overwhelming, pushy, fast, grabbing or getting what you want or being in a hurry, being focused on the goal instead of the journey. Now, yin energy, just like that kitty cat, if you want to pet the pussycat, you've got to start with the connection and the context. Yin energy starts outside of ourselves. And you want to make friends with the kitty cat, you make eye contact. You go, hey, kitty, you get their attention, you make eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're approaching them, you have to do it in an attuned and attentive way. If you're approaching the cat, because you want to pet it, you're being young at that point, at that moment. And if you do it right, that is, at the pussycat's pace, that's the right way. There's no, you know, rule about it, but you have to be attuned to the kitty cat. How am I being received? Is the cat opening? Yin energy longs to open and surrender. Is the cat opening to me, or is the cat pulling back and withdrawing? And then once you start petting the pussycat, you don't start with the most vulnerable parts. You start with the safer parts. You stroke the head. You stroke the back. You show the pussycat, I know how to give you pleasure, and I am safe. And the animal of the kitty cat starts to surrender and starts to open. And sooner or later, if you go at the pussycat pace, which is different for different pussycats, but usually it's going to be slower than the puppy dog pace, sooner or later, you will have that purring puddle of pussy that you're after. And that's because that yin energy starts from the outside, and it has to go to the edges and the non-sexual body parts, and then it has to go slowly in a flowing, watery way. It moves through the body. It goes past the other energy centers, the chakras. It goes past the thinking. It could get stopped right there. If my thinking is overactivated, it goes past the intuition. It goes past the communication centers. It goes past the heart. It goes past the power center. And it also has to come up through the root chakra, which is the safety center. And only after it's flowed through and over and around all these other centers does it get to the sex center. It gets there last. And it can get blocked anywhere along the way. Right? If my heart doesn't feel safe, if I don't feel empowered to speak my truth, if my partner is just going too fast and my animal body doesn't feel safe, I'm going to close up. Not in the thinking. And my thinking isn't necessary. I'm not going to say, I'm going to close up. It's just my animal does that.
Your body does
my
that.
My genitals will not
Yoni
open,
does
right?
That. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's how yin energy operates.
Yeah,
it's
fascinating. I didn't know that much about sexual energy. Going back maybe 15 years, I didn't know that much.
Mm-hmm.
I started reading more, and you have a lot in this book. It's fascinating. I learned a lot from it. But it was really being intimate with Brian that really made me a believer in sexual energy, and I've told him that because we can feel it. It's like getting on the horny highway, you know.
It's amazing. It's like a current. It's like a current that you get on.
Yes.
Yeah.
A current.
Powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you more about yang energy or yang energy, whichever way you want to pronounce it. They're both correct. That energy, where does it start? The opposite, the complete opposite pattern. So for people who have core yang energy, let's just say Carl, for example, my partner, his sexual energy begins in his sex centers, in his genitals, and in his brain. And so for a lot of people with penises or people who have that core yang energy, they're happy to start sex play by diving right in, right? I could just jump on him and grab a hold of his genitals and start playing with him, and he would be so happy.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
He would be like, yay, she's touching it. Great, go to town anytime, right? Right? But if he did that to me, I would not be happy. I'd be like, what are you doing? I'm not there yet. My energy has to go there. His energy starts there. And so, again, once we understand this, once we have a map that helps explain these differences, then instead of being confused or thinking, what is wrong with my partner, right? We have women and men all thinking, women take too long to get turned on, right? Instead of
you know
thinking,
what? I certainly believed that when I was in my 20s. It was a stupid thing to believe because it did not, it made me not a very uninhibited lover because I wanted to please him too much. And thinking, as many young women do, oh, he knows more about my body than I do. Well, that certainly is bullshit. But I'm
just saying, of course, that's not true.
You make a lot of good points about mature sex being much better, and that's we'll end up talking about that, no doubt. But
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I would really say, anyone can acquire these skills again. So if somebody had told me these things when I was younger, I could have attained those skills at a younger age. And I have plenty of students and clients who are older and still haven't figured this out. I think the one advantage that we most many of us get at a certain age is we're not so interested in pleasing other people, and we're starting to go, wait, what pleases me, and starting to question that. And I just also have to throw in, I think our cultural map of sexuality is a male-centered map. It's a pattern of an erotic journey of, you know, get really turned on, lots of, you know, genital energy and engorgement, get more aroused, have an orgasm, and it's over. And
that's
a limited
pornographic film formula, of course. And you write about that on page 69. You say, well, with this how soon can I put it in attitude that, that men do do have, and you write, porn doesn't help either. It invariably cuts to the genital chase without displaying any non-genital foreplay. This is because men are likely to find it boring, even though the female performers require it to get aroused enough for the main event. But a lot of the females in porn, of course, are faking it because they aren't really aroused. And some are.
If they're not faking it, most of the time they've spent 30 minutes, 45 minutes playing with a vibrator before they turn the cameras on.
Yeah.
But we're not seeing that. Right.
That's right.
So
we're not seeing that. We're not seeing that a lot of the porn actors take, well, now that we have Viagra for 20 years now, they do take Viagra. There used to be a job called a fluffer, and that was a male or a female that would give the porn actor a blowjob so that he could arrive on the scene with an erection.
This will
take us back to some of your descriptions, but it's a quote from your book. I love it, Robert Byrne. I don't know who he is, but it's a great quote. I'm glad you put it in your book. Anybody who believes that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach flunked geography. That's great. Do you know who that Robert Byrne is?
I don't remember. I did it the time 10 years ago.
But it's wonderful.
Yeah, memory. Yeah.
And while we're laughing, you have another quote by, I think, Jerry Steinfeld. I love this too. Seems to me the basic conflict between men and women sexually is that men are like firemen. To men, sex is an emergency, and no matter what we're doing, we can be ready in 2 minutes. Women, on the other hand, are like fire. They're very exciting, but the conditions have to be exactly right for it to occur. Jerry Steinfeld is a wise guy, a wise man.
And that's one of those things about yin energy. Because it goes from the outside to the inside and is so distractible. So literally, if I'm looking around and I'm seeing a mess, I'm distracted, right? If I'm thinking about my to-do list I'm distracted. If I'm unhappy with my partner because they did some little thing that irritated me, I'm distracted. And I'll add, you know, our history lives in our bodies. So, and so many people of all genders have had sexual trauma at some point. So I can be blocked, I can be numb, I can check out, I can dissociate. All of these things are going to derail the erotic energy moving through the body and getting to the genitals. And again, these are all things we can work with. We can heal, we can change, we can still have amazing experiences no matter what our history. But it takes some doing. It takes some learning and some work and some play to open those things up.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, an important message I want people to get, that it's all doable.
Right? It's all doable. I think, especially where there's been sexual abuse, and I do have a bias here because I am a sex therapist who's worked with many, many sexual abuse cases, 7 years co-leading two women's groups where they'd all experienced sexual trauma. And then, of course, over the years, many more women with sexual trauma, but a few men. And it's actually experienced as, because it's often a man who abused them, so then they have added shame. Maybe I'm gay, even if they're heterosexual, right? So it can be very difficult. So I'm just saying that if anybody listening has had sexual trauma and you haven't really addressed it or worked on it, and maybe you have some form of PTSD, it comes back, you need to find a really good therapist who works with these cases. And there's a I love aasect.org. Yeah, aasect.org, because you can plug in where you are and you'll get back any aasect certified sex therapist. And that can be very helpful for somebody who's had a trauma in their lives.
So important to get help, you know, and even if you can't afford therapy or don't have someone nearby who can provide that, there are wonderful books.
Yeah, like
videos
and
online
other
things.
That are
just, there are so many resources out there. So I'm going to really second that, which is if that's your issue, and, you know, the statistics are staggering for
they are.
Again, people of all genders. Get help. Don't just be sitting with your pain and your... and the issues that it's caused in your life. There are people who know how to help you. There are other people who have gone through that healing journey and come out the other side. Some of the best teachers and therapists I know have been through that journey. So get help on that one. Anyway, but back to yin
and
yang.
Absolutely. So what do you want to go back to?
Yeah. We were talking about safety. And so just the same way the pussy cat needs to feel safe, that the animal body needs to feel safe in order to open and surrender, which is what yin really wants. Yin wants to just give up control of their own nervous system and let their partner and the erotic energy take them into the deepest kind of trance state. And we can only do that when we feel safe. As I said before, the safety isn't a mental thing. I've had workshops and classes and clients where the man is going, I don't understand. I mean, of course I'm safe. My partner's completely safe with me. I've never hurt her, and I'm trustworthy, all these things. And it's like, well, sure, her brain knows that, but the animal body needs to find that out every single time anew. So we can't approach sex with our partner and just skip over any of the trance-enhancing seduction part, because the kitty cat needs it every single time. So I think that that's really helpful. And one of the ways that if you partner with somebody with core yin energy, or sometimes we switch it up, right? Sometimes my partner gets to be more yin and I get to be more yang. But whoever is being the yang person needs to really be attuned to those signals of opening, of surrender, of entrancement, and that's what the guide is to, you know, can I move from the thigh to the crotch? Well, what's her body saying? What signals are you getting? What's happening with her breath? What's happening with her knees?
That's why
the knees
are the
guardian
of the crotch. One of the great qualities of a superb lover is a man or a woman who pays attention.
Right?
Got to pay attention. And notice how your lover is moving his or her body.
Yeah. Appropriate and attuned attention.
And maybe
here's
the
model of that. And what?
I just said, well, attuned and a kind of a parallel word is syncing up with your partner. The rhythm.
Mm.
You're in rhythm with the breathing, with the moving.
Yeah.
And that can
that
make for
a great way to attune.
Spectacular sex.
Yeah. Right. Mm. So here's the yang piece. And that is the sort of exemplar of the high yang energy is the seeing eye dog, right? In total attunement, in service, using their skills to guide the person where they want to go. Because where do we want to go in sex? We want to go as far out as we possibly can. We want to go into our ecstasy. We want to go on a deep, deep trance journey. We want to surrender control and, you know, just be taken away, taken outside of our normal state. That's what ecstasy means. And so the seeing eye dog is using the yang skills of focus and direction and attention, attuned attention, to help guide that journey, not being so goal-focused that they forget the journey, but kind of keeping the goal in mind and then guiding on this journey. So the seeing eye dog is...
It's a wonderful metaphor.
A beautiful example.
Yep.
And
I will add that one
of our great challenges culturally is what I call bad dog energy.
Yeah.
And you know about bad dogs. You go over somebody's house and their dog jumps up on you and knocks you down and starts humping your leg and sticks his nose in your crotch, right? That's
low
masculine,
dog.
Right?
That's either that or a horny dog. I have to interject a joke here. So what do you do if your pit bull or your pit bull starts humping a friend of yours? Well, she better fake an orgasm. The pit bull humping the leg, right? It's not a very
right?
good joke.
That's
but
the pit bull.
Yeah, that's
the pit bull. And so, yeah, we have a lot of cultural confusion about what healthy young energy looks like. And the seeing eye dog is what it looks like, not the bad dog. The difference between the lover and the rapist, right? The lover is penetrating you with service and love to bring you pleasure, which, by the way, will then rain back upon that person because that's how that circuit works, as opposed to the rapist who's just penetrating without regard, just taking whatever they want, but without any attunement, without any service. It's all about that person. It's all about the perpetrator in that case. And
mm-hmm.
so,
mm-hmm.
so we, right, we should be
and that's
our,
why
our
that's why
things.
You know, lots of people say the rape isn't from the point of view of the rapist is not really about sex. It's about power and dominance and taking
mm-hmm.
over.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I like your metaphors. See, nigh dog, bad good. Dog energy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's right. the pit bull so. Who does hump your leg and you don't like it, but you got to fake an orgasm.
Yeah.
And there are.
Yeah. Because you don't want
to. There are
you.
Parallels to humans in this one.
There are certainly are.
Yeah. And
yeah.
now you.
So.
I just want to.
And I just want to throw in one more time.
Yeah.
One
please.
More time that we all have both of these. We all have both kinds
yeah.
of energy. And there's no right or wrong. It's
mm-hmm.
just starting to learn how you're wired.
Mm-hmm.
And even you can kind of figure, like, all right, I'm core yin, and I'm pretty strongly yin in my erotic energy. But I might have a friend who's also got core yin energy, but maybe she's closer to 50-50 in her
mm-hmm.
energy.
Yes.
Right? And that they're all normal, but it's kind of starting to learn how you operate and what works for you. So people who's erotic energy is more like, oh, I could go either way. I could be yin, I could be yang. Either one is good for me. And there are people who are like that. They're going to have a be able to play both ways. They can play like a cat or like a dog. For somebody like me, who my yin energy is pretty strong, mostly I want to be the pussycat when we play.
Sure.
And it's so helpful to know that. Because, A, I'm likely to be more compatible with partners, right? If I had a partner who was also core yin energy, nobody would initiate sex, right?
That's true.
We'd never get going, right? Nobody would be the pursuer. Nobody would be the person with the focus and the direction. We'd all just be like, yeah, whatever, whatever.
whatever, whatever.
So.
Yes. Carl Jung talked about the animus and the anima, and that's the same idea mm-hmm. of the mm-hmm. female and the male energy, the anima being the female and the mm-hmm. animus being the male. And when Gail Sheehy writes about this, she talks about the crossover at around 50 where the man gets more of his anima, his female energy, and the woman gets more of her animus, the male energy, and so that is compatible in the bedroom because she becomes more assertive and he becomes more romantic, in a nutshell. And it's, but yin, yang, and animus, anima, these are all just labels, but the ideas are the same when it's in... when you're talking about sexual energy being expressed.
Yeah, these are cross-cultural maps. You can find mm-hmm. different, maps and models for this in many, many different cultures because it's really a human thing and a human understanding. It's just that we got kind of confused because as we were trying to create, you know, more sort of social and political gender equality, there was this sort of phase of, oh, there's really no difference. You know, I remember when my son was born, I thought, I'm going to raise a gender-free child. But you know what? He didn't want to play with dolls.
I had the same
them,
experience.
Like footballs, right?
Yeah, I had the same experience. My daughter was born first. I provided her with trucks and dolls and both. She
yeah.
ignored the trucks. Right. My son came along.
Yeah.
And that's all he wanted to play with were trucks and cars. And so, but I wanted to be this
mm-hmm.
very sort of modern mother who was
mm-hmm.
liberated. And but, so how would you explain that, Sherry? that your son
that's the expression of the yin and yang energy.
Mm-hmm.
That's there at a very young age. And the yang energy is got more of that activeness of wanting to create an action, do something with the result, throw the ball, likes objects. Yang likes toys and objects and things that you can, buttons you can push, like nipples.
You're right.
And you'll see, again, that everyone has different levels of kind of nurturing and empathetic qualities, but you do tend to see higher levels of empathy in people who are core yin, because, again, since that's mostly women and we're the ones with the uterus and the breasts and, the babies and the breastfeeding, if you're going to be a mama, you got to have empathy. You're not going to really successfully raise a baby if you can't, surrender yourself somewhat and try and figure out what the heck that crying bundle wants and needs.
That's right, and be unselfish.
So,
you cannot be selfish and be a good mother to this little child who depends on his survival for you.
So I think, that's why there is some gender tendencies here. Again, it's not absolute, it's not set in stone, we all have both. And in fact, we really need both. I want to throw this in real quick, which is, I am core yin, but my yang is my secondary quality, and it's really just as important. Because if I was all yin, I'd be a doormat. I need yang energy to run my business, to create things in the world, to be directive when I need to be, to focus, to have goals. I need my yang energy. And that yang energy is also my warrior energy. If I need to protect myself, I call on that yang energy. And the same goes for people who are core yang, which is those bad dogs we were talking about, it's because of unmitigated yang energy. But the service dog, their core yang energy is balanced and held and softened and turned into service, into attunement by their secondary yin quality. And so we all need all of those things. The more conscious, evolved, mature, skilled we become, the easier it is to go from where we might be more naturally into something that's maybe not as natural, or we can develop the parts of ourselves that didn't get developed. Maybe some people never developed that protective warrior energy, and they are, just a doormat, and everyone can walk over them because they're just too much yin and not any yang. But we can learn. Say, okay, I need to develop some yang skills,
And maybe they learn even better as they mature. You have on page 79 in your book, The Wisdom of True Sexual Maturity, that it takes most people decades to reach their full sexual potential. That's absolutely been my experience. As people age, they often become more adept at assessing different aspects of themselves, including their complementary energy. And then you have right in that area, from Maya Angelou, we have it in us to be splendid. I love that quote. Seen it before. It's we have it in us to be splendid. But we need to be open, don't we? When we're mature people, we have to be open. And look at all of these complementary powers, the energies. Yes.
And this is actually where we started out when we were talking about relationships and the skills they require. This mm-hmm. is one of the wonderful things we can bring to our partners and share with each other, which is that our partners are usually strong and well-developed in an area where we're not. And also, you know, my partner yes. can help me develop my yang if I need it. He's got great yang skills, and I can learn that from him. Mm-hmm. And because he's been with me, he has really learned to develop his yin skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. that's a wonderful... So the fact that we have these opposite but complementary energies is a gift. He has learned how to slow down in a sexual encounter and take more time and enjoy the journey and not be so goal-focused. And that's a wonderful thing for all
yep.
seeing eye dogs to learn. yay for that.
Yay for
and
that.
At the same time, right, in my own erotic journey, I have learned how to boil my own water faster. You know, how to channel my own erotic energy so that I can, right, send it where I want to have it.
Sure. And
right,
and you, I even quoted you in your book earlier in this interview that if you're using it a lot, you're going to get to a hotter temperature much sooner. It is another
yes.
example of use it or lose it. Erections are good for erections. Orgasms are good for more orgasms. And it, physiologically, mm-hmm. I feel like possibly I have more nerve endings in my clitoris and around the whole area than I used to have. Is that
well,
possible?
It's because it's more turned on in your brain. The nerve
yeah.
endings probably are the same, but your brain is utilizing them better.
Sherry, the end of the program has come. Thank you so much. We'll talk in October.
It's a pleasure, as always.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody.
E se ti perderai nel labirinto di un amaro autore, ma i tuoi piedi in